This is the 7th and last day of this January 2008 Rohatsu Sesshin. And today we'll take up another koan. This is from the Shoyo Roku, the Book of Serenity, sometimes called the Book of Equanimity. It's number 17. It's called Fayan's Tiny Bit. Fayan asked Shushan, "If there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth." He's quoting Sun Tzu of Our Affirming Faith and Mind. "There's a bit of difference, is a distance between heaven and earth." And then he asks, "How do you understand that?" Shushan said, "If there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth." Fayan said, "If that's your understanding, you have not realized it yet." Shushan said, "That's my view. What about yours?" Fayan said, "If there is a bit of difference, it is a distance between heaven and earth." And at that, Shushan bowed. Do have some material on these two guys. Fayan, we read about him, I see from my notes, in October, the October Sesshin. So I'll just pluck a couple things out of here. His dates are 885 to 958. It's the just after the Tang Dynasty, I think, either the tail end of the Tang Dynasty or just after it. He entered a monastery when he was 7. He told that he was well educated and erudite as a young man. He studied the Confucian classics. And he found his way to Zen through the Vinaya school. Here's the story of his enlightenment. He was on a pilgrimage with some other monks, and they were sidetracked by a snowstorm and forced to stay at Dizang Monastery. The abbot there, his name is it doesn't matter. It doesn't figure into the dialogue. Oh yeah, that's his first last name. So the abbot asked him, "Where are you going?" Fayan replied, "On an ongoing pilgrimage." The abbot said, "Why do you go on a pilgrimage?" Fayan said, "I don't know." The abbot said, "Not knowing is most intimate." And at these words, Fayan instantly experienced enlightenment. Well, it was only his first awakening, though. Then, what it says here is that his biography provides a different account of his encounter with Dizang and his subsequent awakening. When the snow was gone, the three monks said goodbye and started to leave. Dizang accompanied them to the gate and asked, "I've heard you say several times that The three realms are only mind, and the many dharmas are only consciousness. Dizong then pointed to a rock lying on the ground by the gate and said, "So, would you say that this rock is inside or outside of mind?" Fayan said, "Inside." Dizong said, "How can a pilgrim carry such a rock in his mind while on pilgrimage?" Fayan was dumbfounded. He set down his luggage at Dizong's feet and asked for further teaching. And each day for the next month or so, Fayan spoke about the way with Dizong and demonstrated his understanding. Each time, Dizong would say, "The Buddha Dharma isn't like that." Finally, Fayan said, "I've run out of words and ideas." Dizong said, "If you want to talk about Buddha Dharma, everything you see embodies it." And at these words, Fayan came to his enlightenment. It's very unusual that they have two accounts of that same day of that led to his enlightenment. Notice here, right before his awakening, he says, "I've run out of words and ideas." Just one more here. Once when sand filled in and blocked a new spring that was being dug at the temple, Fayan, as a master, said, "The mouth of the spring is obstructed by sand. When the Dharma eye is obstructed, what is it that obscures it?" The monks were unable to answer. Fayan said, "It's obstructed by the eye." And then the other fellow in our koan, Shushan, he was a brother monk of Fayan, also a disciple of Dizong. According to a book called The Transmission of the Lamp, Shushan's spiritual attainment was comparable to that of Fayan, and these two friends set off together from Dizong's temple on a pilgrimage. Talking as they traveled, Fayan suddenly asked Shushan a question, saying, "The ancients said that the single body is revealed in the 10,000 forms. Did they then dispel the 10,000 forms or not?" Shushan said, "They didn't dispel them." Fayan said, "What do you say dispels or doesn't dispel them?" Shushan was confused and returned to see Dizong, the master. Dizong asked him, "You haven't been gone long. Why have you come back?" Shushan said, "There's an unresolved matter, so I'm not willing to go traveling to mountains and rivers until it's resolved." Dizong said, "It's not bad that you travel to difficult mountains and rivers." but Shushan didn't understand Dizong's meaning. So he asked, "The single body is revealed in the 10,000 forms. What does this mean?" Dizong said, "Do you say the ancients dispel the 10,000 forms or not?" Shushan said, "They didn't dispel them." Dizong said, "It's two." For a while, Shushan was silent, and then he said, "I don't know whether the ancients dispel the 10,000 forms or not." Dizong said, "What is it you call the 10,000 forms?" Shushan thereupon attained enlightenment. That's enough of the little biographical material we have. Now let's turn back to the case. So Fayan asked Shushan, "If there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth. How do you understand that?" This is the third stanza in our Affirming Faith in Mind. We have a slightly different version of it that we made for chanting to make it more suitable for chanting, with each stanza having eight syllables or eight beats. And of course it begins, "The great way is not difficult for those who do not pick and choose. When preferences are cast aside, the way stands clear and undisguised. But even slight distinctions made set earth and heaven far apart." Now we know that they're brother monks. The exchanges we were just reading had Fayan as the more senior of them, at least in practice, spiritually. So when he asks, he quotes that, and then he asks, "How do you understand that?" What's he doing? What's he up to here? This Affirming Faith in Mind is a document that is a particular favorite of, has been, of the masters, ancient masters. There are other koans that involve it. There are two or three in the Blue Cliff record involving the first line. Number 57, "A monk said to Joshu, 'The ultimate way is not difficult, just avoid picking and choosing.'" Here he too is quoting this Affirming Faith in Mind. And then he says, "What is not picking and non-choosing?" Joshu said, "Throughout heaven and earth, I alone, the world honored one." There, the words attributed to the Buddha, when he was, the legend has it, that when he was born, he took seven steps, raised one hand up, and said these words, "Throughout heaven and earth, I alone, the world-honored one." The monk said, "This is still picking and choosing." Joshu said, "You fool, where is the picking and choosing?" The monk was speechless. Well, technically, of course, the monk is right. Every time we speak, the words we choose reflect picking and choosing. But he's missing the point of it, the spirit of it. But this is our dilemma as human beings. Words divide or seem to. All of this started when we were around 2 years old, when we started learning words. And with the acquisition of language, the world became more complicated. When the third patriarch, Sun Tzu, when he wrote this, Affirming Faith in Mind, when he said, if there is a bit of difference, is a distance between heaven and earth, he wasn't finding fault with that. To function as a human being, and even as an animal, any life form, I suppose, involves making distinctions. Every time we approach a traffic light, we have to distinguish between red and green and yellow. When we eat, we have to distinguish. So when we're cooking, we have to distinguish between foods all the time, almost constantly. We are dealing with discriminations, and no master would ever say that isn't necessary. But still, he says, if there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth. Another monk quoted this to Joshua. He said, the great way is not difficult, just avoid picking and choosing. And then he said, if you say a word, that's picking and choosing. So how do you go about helping people? Joshua said, why don't you quote this saying in full? The monk said, I have only this much in mind. Joshua said, it is just this. The great way is not difficult, just avoid picking and choosing. This is a high-level mundo or dharma exchange here. This monk is no beginner. Joshu says, why don't you quote this saying in full? The monk, I have only this much in mind. One other koan in this series, in the Blue Cliff Record, again, the monk quotes, he says to Joshua, you so often quote the words, the great way is not difficult, just avoid picking and choosing. Isn't that your point of attachment? Joshua said, a monk asked me the same question once, and 5 years later, he couldn't forgive himself. So we come out of our mother's womb in this world of non-differentiation, or at least mostly. According to Buddhist psychology, there is some kind of a semblance of a self, even at birth. But for all intents and purposes, the world is very simple indeed. This wordless world, this undifferentiated world. And the whole process of human development is a process of differentiation. And of course, part of that, right, is the discrimination between self and other. And then we lose this experience of the world as whole, as one, as undivided. And really all the koans deal with this interplay of these two aspects of reality: oneness, that is the undifferentiated, the undivided, and two-ness, or threeness, or multiplicity, world of differences. And that's the world of form. There is no form except in differentiation. Even the Enso, as this big circle at the end of the hallway here outside the Zendo, even this, though it's empty, the ink, that outline gives it form. The great Japanese master Daio Kokushi was talking about all this when he said, "There is a reality even prior to heaven and earth. Indeed, it has no form, much less a name. Eyes fail to see it. It has no voice for ears to detect. To call it mind or Buddha violates its nature. Because as soon as we call it anything, then there, heaven and earth are set far apart. For it then becomes like a visionary flower in the air. It is not mind nor Buddha, absolutely quiet and yet illuminating in a mysterious way. It allows itself to be perceived only by the clear-eyed. It is Dharma, truly beyond form and sound. It is Tao, having nothing to do with words. Wishing to entice the blind, the Buddha has playfully let words escape his golden mouth. Heaven and earth are ever since filled with entangling briars. Oh, my good worthy friends gathered here, if you wish to listen to the thunderous voice of the Dharma, exhaust your words, empty your thoughts, for then you may come to recognize this one essence." Even in Zen, leaving aside infancy, even in Zen, the experience of oneness is not the ultimate experience. In the 12 ox herding pictures, there is the depiction of just a blank circle. All the ones leading up to it and the ones after it have images on them. But number eight jumps out as because it's empty. This represents the experience of this no mind, this realm of emptiness, the undifferentiated. But you notice it's not the last, it's not the highest state. And the two more, with the tenth being entering the marketplace with helping hands. We can't dwell in this oneness in a simple, one-sided way. In Sesshin, while sitting, certainly we can do this. We're not called upon to make any distinctions, to make any discriminations. We can just lose ourselves in this, dip our nose in this bowl of rice and eat our fill. But then we leave Sesshin, we go back to our busy lives, back to the world of differences. A mature Zen practice means being able to integrate this world of oneness, the undifferentiated, this pure mind, to integrate it into our daily, busy daily lives of decision making and making discriminations. But we remember the simplicity and the purity of Sesshin. Many people have the hardest time after Sesshin adjusting to this busy world of discrimination. But we have no choice, except maybe a mental hospital where all decisions will be made for us. You might say that you could make the case that people who are in mental hospitals, some in certain states, are there because they're unable to discriminate, unable to differentiate between their feces and food and all kinds of outrageous things. And so they have to be protected because they can't make these discriminations. So we re-enter the marketplace with hands as helpful as we can. But there is this possibility, even in our daily lives, of carving out a bit of time to delve into, back into this realm of the undivided. After Sesshin, it can seem, when we think back to the better parts of Sesshin, if we've had better parts, And it can suddenly seem like all of that was an illusion. That if we reached any depth where the world fell silent in this wordless, undivided mind, and the serenity, the indescribable serenity that came from that, the experience we had of that, and then when we get back into the bustling world of our lives, we can imagine that was the illusion, that was just some kind of altered state of consciousness that wasn't real. Don't ever think that. It's the realm of opposition, of clashing of ideas and arguments and the turmoil of thoughts in the mind. This is not our nature. This is not our fundamental condition. This is the illusion, this world of appearances not seen through the undifferentiated. See, people sometimes seem to imagine that someone very advanced in practice goes through life with everything undifferentiated. They think that samadhi means just this simple emptiness. But of course, we all, no matter how advanced we are in this path, we all have to integrate whatever experience of oneness that we've had into this world of multiplicity. I remember myself after reaching a state nearly of unity with Mu, afterward feeling a bit deflated and thinking, oh, that I was somehow bamboozled to think that was reality, that was the condition of this no mind, our true mind. Later found out that this world of tumult is the illusion. Let's get back to our case. So again, he sets Fayon, said if there's a bit of difference, is a difference between the distance between heaven and earth. How do you understand that? Shushan comes back with, if there is a bit of difference, it is a distance between heaven and earth. What's he doing there? May just be playing it safe, just echoing Fayon, or there may be something else, maybe a good response. Fayon seems to be saying, if that's your understanding, you have not realized it yet. Shushan simply says, that's my view. What about yours? Hitting the ball back over the net. Fayon says, if there is a bit of difference, it is a distance between heaven and earth. The commentary on the Shoyuroku, for this koan, the editor of it, his name is Wan Song, the editor of it himself makes this commentary. This is the first response from Shushan when he just repeated the statement. Wan Song says, "This one here didn't fall into speculative thought. He just said a hairbreadth's difference in another little translation variation here. I'll just go back to it. He just said, if there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth. He quite evidently had the relaxation of mastery. But then, Fion, after all, didn't accept him, but said, how can you get it that way? This is why he was the fountainhead of the Fion lineage. At this point, here I always tell the students to divide their bodies into two and look. When Master Shushan said this in the first place, why was it not accepted? Then afterwards, why did Fion turn around and say the same thing? In the meantime, Shushan said, I am just thus. How about you? He was looking for an utterly new sun and moon to make a separate life. Now, Fion didn't slip a bit. As before, he said simply, if there is a bit of difference, it is the distance between heaven and earth. And then here Wan Song quotes the great Dongshan and said, the master of Shushan responded in this way. Why didn't Fion agree? And then when he questioned further a second time, Fion just said the same thing. Whereupon Shushan got it. Tell me, where is the puzzle? If you can see through, I would say you've got something to go on. At the end, we see Shushan bows. In the original Affirming Faith in Mind, after this statement, even slight distinctions made set earth and heaven far apart, he goes on and says, if you would clearly see the truth, discard opinions, pro and con. To founder in dislike and like is nothing but the mind's disease. So, yes, we have to make distinctions. We have to discriminate all the time. But then, not all the time. There are times when we don't need to make unnecessary discriminations. And why not make unnecessary discriminations? Because they create pain. They set apart heaven and earth. They divide the indivisible. There's a Chinese proverb, even an earthquake cannot destroy a city that was never built. Our time is up. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.